All right, so yesterday, Obama gave his big speech. Go figure. Go figure. It was exactly what I said it would be yesterday. Remember, we talked about this yesterday. He was on when I would go to the green room. I would see him, and I would say, I guarantee you, he's talking about everything. Everything besides the police officers. Well, I wasn't wrong. I was not wrong. Just to give you a little taste, just a smidgen. Let's give you a smidgen, okay? A smidgen. Because I got the transcripts here. I know I should be playing the clips, but yesterday was extremely. This past week has been busy, over the top busy, and trying to get caught up with a bunch of things me and Cat Z are trying to do. So it's been busy. I know. It's no excuse. I know. It's no excuse. But I have the transcript, so let's just touch it a little. Okay? Just let's touch it a little. You had W. He spoke. Yeah, Chief Brown, he spoke. And just a side note, right now, some of the officers are having funerals, and their families are, like, CNN is showing live footage of some of the funerals going on. And it's sad. It's very sad when you see, especially that Lauren Arines police officer, the big hulking police officer, whose wife is a detective. Especially when you see, and he's with the kids, and the kids are up there, and they're showing pictures of swimming in the pool. It's horrible. So anyways, Obama opens up after everybody else speaks, because he's the grand finale, you know. Now, he didn't bust out in a song like he did in Charleston. He didn't bust out, remember? He didn't bust out a song. I guess the cops weren't worthy of getting a song. They were just worthy of getting a lecture of how they're racist. How 1.1 million cops are they're systemic racism. There's systemic racism. And the country's not divided. Again, we didn't have this 7.5 years ago. Yeah, we had bad cops here and there. Yeah, cops sticking billy clubs up guys' rectums in New York. Yeah. Yep. That happened. Bad. bad, bad. Police brutality, bad. But being a felon, being on the run, being in a speeding car, almost running people down, having guns in your pocket. I mean, those long lists, those people were never I guess you could say respect. People didn't question a police officer's motives for beating, tasing, or shooting somebody with a long criminal record. This phenomenon has happened in the past 7.5 years. I mean, Black Lives Matter started after Ferguson, Michael Brown. A case and narrative that was predicated on BS. And after the Justice Department, Obama's Justice Department investigated, they said, you know what, the cops are justified. Michael Brown wasn't executed in the middle of the street. He didn't put his hands up and get shot for no reason. He charged the police officer. He fought with the police officer over his gun. There was no hands up, don't shoot. So this is a phenomenon that Obama created. He created it. Plain and simple. So he goes on, he talks scripture, which is kind of funny considering, that's all I'm going to say. Scripture tells us that our suffering there is glory, because we know the suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. As-salamu alaykum. I mean, sometimes the truths of these words are hard to see. So he goes into some Christian scripture. And you're like, okay, we're doing good. He's being respectful. And then he goes into the, for the men and women who protect and serve the people of Dallas last Thursday began like any other day, like America's each day breakfast. Okay. You're right, all right. Lauren Athrens, that's the big hulking dude. He answered the call. So did his wife, Katrina, not only because she was the spouse of the police officer, but because she's a detective on the force. They have two kids, and Lauren took them fishing and used to proudly go to their school in uniform. And the night before he died, he bought dinner for a homeless man. And the next night, Katrina had to tell their children that their dad was gone. They don't get it yet, their grandma said. They don't know what to quite, they don't know what to do quite yet. So then he goes on, Michael Kroll answered the call. So you're like, all right, so far so good. It's emotional. You're paying tribute to these police officers. Goes on to Michael Smith, answered the call in the Army and over almost 30 years working for the Dallas Police Association, which gave him the appropriate name, Cops Cop Award. Man of deep faith. When he was off duty, he could be found at church or playing softball with his two girls. Today, his girls have lost their dad, for God has called Michael home. I don't mean good in a mean way. I mean good that Obama's sticking to script. He's sticking to what this memorial was supposed to be about. And that's these police officers. It's not supposed to be about anything else. It's about these police officers. It's paying respects to these police officers. That's it. That's it. That's all it should be about. So far, so good. Patrick Zampira, he answered that call, just 32, a former altar boy who served in the Navy and dreamed of being a cop. He liked to post videos of himself and his kids on social media. And on Thursday night, while Patrick went to work, his partner, Chrissy, posted a photo of her and their daughter at a Texas Rangers game and tagged her partner so that he could see it while on duty. There's a guy on duty watching his girlfriend and his kid at a Texas Ranger game, and then he gets shot, killed by an animal. By an animal who is inspired by Black Lives Matter. He said it. Black Lives Matter. I don't like white people. Brent Thompson answered that call. He served his country as a Marine and years later as a contractor. He spent time in some of the most dangerous parts of Iraq and Afghanistan. Then a few years ago, he settled down here in Dallas for a new life of service as a transit cop. And just about 2 weeks ago, he married a fellow officer, their whole life together waiting before them. Spent years in Afghanistan and Iraq. A Marine. The guys in the front line fighting terrorism, fighting Islamic extremism, radical Muslims. And he lived. He escaped that region with his life, only to get shot in the back from an animal, a filthy, vile, disgusting, rabid-filled animal that was inspired by Black Lives Matter. Organization. And if people say that's not fair, it's not a terrorist organization, fine. Then I think at the very least the Southern Poverty Foundation, whatever that group is called, the Southern Poverty Group, the ones who put the label on different organizations as hate groups, I think they should at the very least put that label on Black Lives Matter. When you're screaming at cops, when you're throwing bottles at cops, your organization calling this dirty dog animal from Dallas, this killer, a martyr. When you're inspiring dirty dog animals like the Dallas killer, and like those dirty dog animals that were arrested in Baton Rouge, for plotting to kill police officers. When these things are popping up and they are being inspired at the very least, you should be deemed a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. I think that's what their full name is. So Obama continues, like police officers across the country, these men and their families shared a commitment to something larger than themselves. They weren't looking for their names and put up in lights. Okay, so far so good. No, the reward comes in knowing that our entire way of life, America, depends on rule of law, the maintenance of that law, and it's hard and daily labor. that in the country we don't have soldiers in the streets of or militias setting the rules. Instead, we have public service, police officers. Okay, so far, so good. And that's what these five men doing last Thursday when they were assigned to protect and keep orderly and peaceful protests in response to the killing of Alton Sterling of Baton Rouge and Philando Castillo of Minnesota. Here we go. Here we go. It can't be about the police. It's like Obama. You did your speech about the Chomo Sterling and Philando Castile. You did your speech. You did your speech. You talked them up before the facts were in. You ran to that podium in Poland, and you talked them up. You talked them up. And here you are in Dallas. You have five police officers killed. I mean, if you need to stretch time, you could stretch time. You could spend a little bit more time talking about these guys. Five guys. No. Now it's got to be about Alton Sterling, the Chomo, and Philando Castile. And remember, it's always peaceful protest, peaceful protest, peaceful protest. These, I don't even know what they are. This terrorist group marches through the streets, stopping traffic, breaking windows, throwing bottles, and they're considered peaceful. And should one protest go where there's no street blockage, there's no bottles thrown, is now how all the protests are. They're all like that. They pretend the ones in Oakland don't exist. They pretend the ones in Minnesota don't exist, where they're throwing fireworks and rocks and things at the cop. They pretend those don't exist. As Obama continues, for a while, the protest went on without incident. The police conduct was the subject of the protest. And, of course, they go on to, or he goes on to bring up the two officers, black and white, smiled next to a man with a sign that read, "No justice, no peace." That was the image where you would hear CNN and MSNBC and all the other networks, the Daily Beasts, the rest of them talk about cops taking pictures with protesters. Like I said, one picture. And then around 9 o'clock, the gunfire came. Another community torn apart. More hearts broken. More questions about what caused and what might prevent another such tragedy. What do you mean, what caused? This I'm telling you, this guy, this guy, there's no, I feel like Rubio now. There's no way he's stupid. He knows exactly what he's doing. And you talk about Trump being a divider. Washington Post and New York Times talk about Trump playing the identity politics. Are you kidding me? Nobody's better than Obama. Obama has carved up every single group in this country. Every single group, whether you're gay, whether you're a transgender, whether you're black, whether you're brown, whether you're poor, whether you're rich. They're in a group too. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're a millennial. You're not just a young person, you're a millennial. He knows exactly what he's doing. That's how Democrats win elections. That's the only way they can win elections. Can't win an election just on the stock market. There's not 67 million of my dad that go, well, you know, they get a shooting here. Yeah, but hey, listen, stock market's 18,000. I've quadrupled my money. I live on an island. I don't care what happens. Everything's good. Your sister's gay. She could marry. Everything's good. It's all good. That's like in my dad's 78-year-old mind. Hey, I got a ton of money. I made it to this age. I didn't go broke. I got a ton of cash to leave to my kids. My daughter's a homo. She doesn't have to worry about being ostracized from society. My prostate's not riddled with cancer. And I live on an island with white people. I mean, that's it. He don't care. But there's not 67 million people like my dad. He's just a small group. Obama knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. More questions about what caused this. What do you mean, what caused this? Black Lives Matter. He said it, stupid. He don't like white people, stupid. President. And the media perpetuates it, and they protect the president. They protect the Democrats. It's like Orlando. What did he? Was he repressed gay? No, it's not what, everything you guys are trying to spin. San Bernardino, we're thinking it might be workplace violence. Yeah, no, we know what it is. Even when they all come out and go, when Dylann Roof did what he did, we all knew why he did it. Confederate flag, Dukes of Hazzard. White supremacy, Ku Klux Klan, David Allen Coe. Leonard Skinner. we know why. We were told why. Look at him. He's posing. He's posing. Look, he's posing. Got the Confederate flag. Look. And he's got a manifesto. You notice we haven't heard anything from this manifesto that they got from the Dallas shooter's place. And you notice you haven't heard much about the bombs he had at his place. Because what's the left going to do? Go ban Home Depot? You're going to go, it's Home Depot. People can make bombs, Home Depot. No. We don't know what caused this tragedy. You don't know what caused this tragedy. White people, you dummy. You telling people like this guy that there's systemic racism. There's systemic racism. You have Don Lemon, a guy's a multi-millionaire broadcaster on CNN talking about race. I have to be careful when I talk to police officers. You really? What are you talking about, Don Lemon? What are you talking about, stupid? And what might prevent another such tragedy? Well, Obama, how about if you stop pitting blacks against whites? How about if you stop giving speeches talking about racism that's just all over the place? As if white people wake up in the morning and think, how can I keep the black man down? Yes. Yes. How can I keep the black man down? That's the first thing I think about when I wake up in the morning. When I wake up in the morning, I go, okay, how do I keep the black man down? How do I just... How? What can I? And then I take a break and I do my show. And then as soon as the show's over, I go, okay, I'm done with the show. All right, now, how can I? Okay, all right. How can I? What can I do? What? Okay, can I do this? And then my girlfriend goes, honey, I think we have to go to the doctor for the baby. No. The baby can wait. The baby can wait. I am right now in deep thought. How to keep the black man down. I need. And then I just do this all day. I don't even take a shower. She goes, are you going to take a shower? I go, no. That will interrupt process of keeping the black man down. Listen. That is a fairy tale. Okay? Does racism exist? Sure. Racism exists everywhere. Is it this systemic problem? No. That is a liberal... It's a liberal political maneuver. That is identity politics. When they want to say Trump is using... No. The notion that black people are oppressed all across this nation is a fantasy. It's a fairy tale. Absolute fairy tale. An absolute fairy tale. Today, 2016, today, July, there are more successful, educated, wealthy, any other words that you could think of to describe success, black people, than there has ever been at any time in our history. Now, if you're going to point to a kid in Baltimore, or you're going to point to a kid in Cleveland, or you're going to point to somebody in one of these depressed areas and go, racism exists there, you're being disingenuous. You're going to say that person is poor or that person is where they are because of racism, you're out of your effing mind. You're out of your effing mind. That's an excuse. That's a liberal talking point. It's a liberal ploy. It's a liberal political maneuver. Those people aren't where they are because of racism. You look at television, you look at sports, you look at politics, you look at every facet, you look at enrollment in colleges, you look at different professions, doctors, lawyers, judges, across the board. There are more black people today. All of these professions, in all of these walks of life, there are more black people today than there ever has been. If that, listen, if there was systematic racism, systemic racism, okay? If there was all this racism, and we just sat around all day and thought how to keep the black man down, you wouldn't have the levels of success that black people have today. If there was all of this, and I bring up whether it's sports or television or entertainment, any of the, I bring it because these are the things that we experience on a daily basis. Politics on a daily basis. Cause this in Dallas, and he knows how to stop it. He knows. He knows. He absolutely knows. Hell, a good chunk will be cracking down on illegal immigration, freeing up those jobs, so black people can go to work, earn a living, support their family, go to school, and not rip and run and hang out on the streets all night, throwing rocks at cops, doing useless protests. Instead, one of their people call them up and go, yo, man, we're going to go out tonight. And bro, I got to get up early for work. I just bought a new car. I got a car payment, my friend. Oh, come on, man. Well, what? Come on. We're going to close down the 405. I got to get on the 405 to work tomorrow, stupid. Yeah, see you later, stupid. Yeah. People laugh at Trump when he goes, if they had jobs, they felt like they had self-worth, a lot of this could be eliminated. And people go, ha, 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 ha. What do you mean, ha, 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 ha? How is that funny? Not everybody could go to college. I didn't go to college, okay? And I don't know if ultimately I could have succeeded. I don't know if I'm a college person. But ultimately, I didn't go to college. Now, I'm not going to get jobs that will require college education for. Not everybody's for college. Not everybody does go to college. It means they're stupid. So the notion that you can't be successful or you can't have a life or you can't have a family unless you go to college is absurd. So there's a lot of ways to relieve the angst that are going on. When you hear Hillary Clinton go, well, I'm going to bring jobs. What do you mean? What's been going on for 7.5 years, stupid? a Democrat's been president. So now you're going to do a better job than Obama? So what you're saying is Obama's done a crappy job? What is it? Oh, you're going to bring better jobs. How are you going to bring? What are you going to do? You're going to bring better jobs, but you're going to have, you know, what? It's just ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. So Obama continues, I know the Americans are struggling right now with what we've witnessed over the past week. First, the shootings in Minnesota and Baton Rouge, and then the protests, then targeting of police by shooters here. An act not just of demented violence, but of racial hatred. Faced with the violence, we wonder if the divides of race in America can ever be bridged. We wonder if African-American community that feels unfairly targeted by police and police departments that feel unfairly maligned for doing their jobs can ever understand each other's experience. We turn on the TV or surf the internet, we could watch positions harden and lines drawn and people retreat to their respective corners and politicians calculate how to grab attention to avoid the fallout. We see all this, and it's hard not to think sometimes that the center won't hold and that things might get worse. Remember, he's part of this. When he retreats to his corner, that corner is systemic racism. Listen, before he retreats to his corner when he goes on television and talks about Sterling and the other person from Minnesota without knowing all the facts. Hell, he goes to that corner just by talking about it. You know, why do presidents not get involved with local style things? The only reason you have this Black Lives Matter terrorist group and things of that nature is because the president gave the green light. If the president didn't acknowledge these things, the president didn't acknowledge these incidences, if the president kept it as a local level, we wouldn't be where we are today. You know, you could still investigate police departments. You could still investigate police brutality, and you don't have to make it a political spectacle. But Obama has to do that because that's how you divide the country into these little pieces. That's how you win elections as Democrats, because you can't win elections on doing anything good for the country. You can only win elections on dividing each group up. It's very Machiavelli. So you could still have had happened in Ferguson. Still could have happened. You still could have had happened in, you know, Baton Rouge. You still could have investigated. You still could have investigated these things. These rioters come out. They start burning down CVS. They start doing things that have nothing. I mean, think about this. Ferguson and Black Lives Matter spurned out of people burning down drugstores, looting businesses. That's not a peaceful protest. And when the police came in there with tanks, when they came in there looking like the military, it shifted to, oh my God, why would they be doing this? This is, they're militarized. Oh my God, love that. Well, You have citizens burning stores down, stupid. Are you kidding me? You insane? Are you a whack job? So you could have had law and order squashed. Could have had law and order just, you could have had law and order just squash that. Just squat, done. You want to march? Go ahead and march. You start throwing bottles, you're getting arrested. You start burning buildings down, you're getting arrested. You're getting tear gassed. That's what happens. It's law and order. And behind the scenes, the president still could have launched investigations. They then could have came out with reports. But to go on TV and basically give your stamp of approval is what started this entire ball rolling with Black Lives Matter. Listen, when Black Lives Matter jumps up on stage and hijacks a microphone from Bernie Sanders, just that act alone, just that act alone is terrorism. That is the definition of terrorism. Hijacking and preventing political speech, politics. Terrorism. Look up the definition. When they are disrupting with violence, intimidation, government, or other things of that nature, conducting business or trying to conduct business, that is the definition of terrorism. So then the president continues. And he talks about, so he drifts back to when the bullets are flying, the men and women of Dallas, they did not flinch, they did not react recklessly, they showed incredible restraint, helped in some cases protesters. Who was helped by protesters? The cops were? They were helped by protesters? Ay, ay, ay. Seriously, it's like an ay, 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 ay. Really, it's just, got it. You know, it can't be about the cops. These men, this department, this is America, I know. And today in this audience, I see people who have protested on behalf of criminal justice reform, grieving alongside police officers. I see people who mourn for five officers we lost, but also weep for the families of Altan Sterling and Philando Castillo. Yes, families weeping for a child molester in this audience. I see what's possible. I see what's possible when we recognize that we are one American family, all deserving of equal treatment, all deserving of equal respect, all children of God or Allah. That's America that I know. Allah. That's what the president wanted to say. All children of Allah. Allah Akbar. That's what he wanted to say. That's what he wanted to say. So he goes back to the police officers. We know that the overwhelming majority of police officers do an incredibly hard and dangerous job. Fairly and professionally, they are deserving our respect and not our scorn. And when anyone, no matter how good their intentions may be, paints all police as biased or bigoted, we undermine those officers we depend on for our safety. And for those who use rhetoric suggesting harm to police, even if they don't act on it themselves, well, they not only make the jobs for police officers even more dangerous, but they do a disservice to the very cause of justice they claim to promote. We also know that centuries of racial discrimination, of slavery and subterfuge and Jim Crow, they didn't simply vanish with me and end with They didn't simply vanish at the end of lawful segregation. They didn't just stop when Dr. King made a speech or the Voting Rights Act, Civil Rights Act were signed, racially approved, dramatic. Those who deny it are dishonest, dishonoring the struggles that helped achieve that progress. But we know, but America, we know the bias remains. We know it, whether you are black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or Middle Eastern descent. We have all seen this bigotry in our own lives at some point. We've heard it at times in our own homes. We've honest, perhaps we've heard prejudice in our own heads and felt it in our own hearts. We know that. And while some suffer far more under racism burden, some feel to a far greater extent discrimination will sting, although most of us are our best to guard against it, to teach our children better. None of that is entirely innocent. No one institution is entirely immune, and that includes our police departments, and we know this. This is now going after the cops. And so when African-Americans from all walks of life, from different communities across the country, voice a growing despair over what they perceive to be unequal treatment, when study after study shows that whites and people of color experience the criminal justice system differently, so that if you're black, you're more likely to be pulled over, searched, or arrested, more likely to get longer sentences, more likely to get the death penalty for the same crime. Mothers and fathers raise their kids right and have the talk about how to respond if stopped by police officer. Yes, sir. No, sir. Well, that's all people, Hussein. All people. I was not raised to say, what's up, cop? What's up? Oh, I'm allowed to talk like this because I'm white. Now, if I was black, I would have to go, yes, sir. Nah. Nope. I was raised to respect authority. Sorry, Hussein. That's just me. That's just me. So he just continues more and more and more talking about racism. And supposed to be about the cops, but of course, Obama had to make sure he talked about. But for those who dislike the phrase Black Lives Matter, surely we know we should be able to hear the pain of Alton Sterling's family. We should, when we hear a friend describe him by saying that whatever he cooked enough for everybody. That should sound familiar. I mean, here he is praising a child molester. It's about five cops that got ambushed, that got slaughtered, dealing with a protest over something that did not happen in their town, in their city. They have a police force that is diverse. They have a police chief. They have a captain. They black. His own son was involved in a police shooting. That's what this should have been about. Not about Alton Sterling, the chomo, cooking dinner. President is just, he's just amazing. He really is. He's just amazing. This president spent more time talking about race, talking about Anton Sterling, the chomo. This president spent more time bashing, even in a subtle way, I still call it bashing, police, and talking about racism, than he spent talking about five police officers that were slaughtered at a protest that had nothing to do with the Dallas police. Said nothing to do with the Dallas police. That's the sad thing. Dallas police have actually been ahead of the curve as far as diversity in the police force involving blacks, Latinos, women, community outreach. Hell, you heard the chief say, we're hiring. We're hiring. All you protesters. All you protesters. All you protesters bitching and whining. Come. Come join the police force. You want to make a difference? Come on. I bet you if you talk to the chief in a month and ask him, hey, did you get like a flood of applications? I bet you he'll tell you, nope. That's what Obama's created. He's created victims. He's created complainers. When you're part of when you run an administration and you run a country and you put in people's heads that if you just change the word, if you change the word on something, if you just change the word on something, everything will be better. Everything will be okay. Talk about safe space. And what this president did was a disgrace. It was. But that's been his presidency for 7.5 years. Unless you have money in the stock market. If you got money in the stock market, he's a great president. If you got money in the stock market, he's a great president. Other than that, he's been a disgrace. He's been horrible. This country is just, we've already fallen off the cliff. We're just flying to the bottom. And we got a chance to sprout wings. We got a chance to sprout wings before we hit the bottom. But, you know, I don't think, we'll talk about that tomorrow. I don't know if there's enough people in this country that are smart enough to realize what Hillary Clinton will do to us. Because if you think these past 7.5 years have been bad, man, it's only beginning. All right, it's the Rob Zicari Show. Listen, we're done. We're finished for the day, okay? It's over. And now it's time to go look at my beautiful girlfriend and see how she's doing today. Okay? That's what we're going to do. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's been great. You're the best. You rule. And I want to talk about the new Washington Post article that I was referencing it today, and the New York Times article about Trump and the whole white identity politics. And it's funny. Like I said, the liberals try to head off when they see their side getting blasted. Because if you talk to a liberal privately, they'll admit, you'll get them to admit. Hell, if you waterboarded them, they'd admit. Everything that we say on this show, that they're thinking and they're doing and they deny it, they will admit it. Privately, they'll admit it. Waterboarding them, they will admit it. They will. Identity politics. That's the New York Times article. And the left plays black identity politics, gay identity politics, Mexican identity politics, transsexual identity politics, women identity politics. It's Rob Zicari Show. We'll see you guys tomorrow. You've been the best. Don't forget, go to the RobZicariShow.com. Go to our Twitter feed. at Rob Zicari Show, at Rob Zicari Show. Go to the Facebook. Just check us out. Go there. You guys will love everything. Trust me. I got to get a fax machine. I know. It sounds so... It sounds so outdated. But, yeah. I got to go and get a fax machine. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. You're the best. You rock and roll. Rock and roll. Woo!